Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. The Farm Broadcasting Gathering this year was virtual, and so we have a virtual visit, but he's live with us. It's Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union. Hello, Rob.
Hey, good to talk to you, Mick.
Thank you. Hey, we got to talk policy and the ag economy and new Congress, new administration, but I have a much more important question for all us North Dakotans up here. How's Roger doing these days, and do you talk with him at all?
Oh, that's great. So Roger Johnson is handling retirement really well. I understand he's getting to spend a lot of well-earned time with his grandkids and riding his bike. And he still checks in on a very regular basis, but he seems to be doing very, very well.
Good. Some people are not good at retirement. I'm one of them. So I'm glad Roger is spending time, especially with the grandkids. They add so much to your life. So. All right, Rob, we have a new administration, a transition that's a little rough and rugged, and I guess concerns moving forward when it comes to production agriculture to what has been categorized as a more environmentally friendly president.
So I think, you know, the one thing that is positive is that even as we talk about transition at USDA, we know that the vast majority of the folks there are career, which really just helps make a more seamless transition. So if we're talking about the existing farm programs that are currently in the Farm Bill, the folks that are running those programs will continue to be there. We certainly still have some debate and some questions about who will be heading up USDA and who will be some of those senior folks in the agencies. I know that the candidates that are being considered right now are all very strong, have strong ag backgrounds and knowledge, and that will certainly be important as we look at the challenges we're currently facing.
There's a lot of new people both at the House and Senate in the ag committees that, they need maybe a little education on how the process works.
Yeah, that's true. I tell you, there's been a lot said across the country about the loss of Colin Peterson from the Ag Committee. But what we're not losing is really the legacy that I would argue that Chairman Peterson has with the committee. And that is being a member of Congress who gets down in the details heavy. He understood the programs and still understands them really inside and out. And not only his knowledge of that, but as chairman, he made sure every other member of the committee, particularly on his side of the aisle, understood all the programs, even if they weren't in their own districts. I think what that's done is given us a continuity and a resilience that will help the committee as it looks ahead to the next Farm Bill. And whoever they end up choosing to be the new leader of the committee, I know will have, you know, had to study up on crop insurance and dairy policy, whether or not they wanted to or not.
You put out a news release yesterday on the alliance of groups, including Farm Bureau and Farmers Union. And the list goes on and on and on about unprecedented climate policy recommendations. I guess this is across the board and across all spectrums of, both political leaning and different types of agriculture. Are you happy with the climate policy recommendations? And I guess what is the mission moving forward?
Yeah, so FACA, or the Food and Ag Climate Alliance, really is unprecedented. As you mentioned, it not only has National Farmers Union, but also American Farm Bureau Federation. It also has, as one of its co-chairs, the Environmental Defense Fund. It also has the National Council of Farmer-Owned Cooperatives. So it's, and then there's a number of other groups representing food chain as well as forestry. And really what it's done is taken what has been kind of a hodgepodge of climate solutions and recommendations and tried to bring all of us together, look for those commonalities. Now look, these conversations have been going on for months, and the number of hours spent trying to hash out all the different recommendations here hasn't always been easy. But this is about being able to come together on those things that we agree on and hopefully find some recommendations that the new administration can implement on their own. Some of the recommendations will be things maybe caught up in other bills, and obviously some of it could be considered for the next farm bill.
Is there any anxiety or concern that moving forward, farmers, well, I don't know, to put it bluntly, might get the short end of the stick when it comes to climate change, reducing greenhouse gas, carbon sequestration, electric vehicles, all of this is a little bit of a concern. It's not the way it used to, not Grandpa's farm anymore.
Well, I think the important piece here is, you know, from farmers' union's perspective, our members are all about making sure that farmers have a seat at the table. We know that solutions on climate change are inevitable. It's coming, right? And so we also know that farmers can be part of the solution here. We also want to make sure that any recommendations are science-based, remain voluntary, but that we want to be part of the solution. And so we are really encouraged that Farm Bureau is joining that effort on the same principles, along with all the other groups. And that we are going to ensure that farmers remain, you know, part of the conversation here. I think the unfortunate other approach would be to somehow try to stay away from the conversations because it might be impacting us in a negative way. That all but ensures that we have no voice in those decisions, and we may get those requirements that we don't want down the line. So that's why we are at the table. That's why the other groups are at the table. And again, voluntary, science-based, we're going to continue to find solutions.
So you're taking action. What kind of action would you like farmers to take? Or should we just leave it all up to FACA?
Well, you know, FACA is the farmers, right? I mean, Farmers Union is farmer driven, as are some of the other groups in the organization here. So I think that voice will always be in there. I mean, for my own operation, which is actually here in West Virginia, you know, I know those practices, those programs that I can do, which can either, you know, improve soil health, perhaps, or otherwise capture carbon. That some of these actions that farmers can take are things that farmers are already doing, right? They are, when you look at the recommendations through this new alliance, it includes things like the existing NRCS programs that we have now. But it's also about making sure that there's funding for those programs. It's about creating a carbon bank at USDA. And certainly North Dakota, through the leadership of North Dakota Farmers Union and National Farmers Union, has had a carbon market in the past. I think that there are good ways that farmers are going to want to participate because it ends up being good for the land and ultimately good, hopefully, for their bottom line.
Yeah, wind energy is an opportunity, maybe solar is something that folks are going to give up a few acres and make a regular have a check coming in every month or every year on that.
Yeah, it's a good point, Mick, and it's worth noting that the recommendations from this alliance cover really the whole broad spectrum, right? It's things surrounding soil health, it's around food waste, it's around energy, which includes biofuels, recognizing that biofuels are an important part of climate mitigation. And also those livestock solutions. So really, it's the whole gamut of things here that, you know, again, voluntary and science-based.
All right. Before we run out of time, Rob wanted to talk about trade, which the current and previous, soon-to-be-previous administration, it took a lot of action, which I think a lot of farmers applauded, yet suffered from the tariffs. So we've got to eliminate unfair trade, I guess. And is that a major challenge? And how do we accomplish that moving forward?
Yeah, so we certainly are hopeful that the next administration will live up to their claims, which is that they will remain aggressive with bad global trade actors like China, for example. And we applauded this administration's efforts to go after China. What we were really disappointed in, and I think farmers across the country saw the effects of going it alone. And so we are now starting to see commodity prices starting to improve out there with some of the purchases. But it's going to take high commodity prices for a long time before we get out from all the damage that was done by the trade war. What we hope, quite frankly, is that the next administration will take an aggressive but much more kind of working with our allies around the the world to bring some stability to these markets. 2020 was a little too exciting for my like, and my hope as we transition into the next administration is a little less excitement for farmers, and that will bring hopefully policies that add stability and strength to the markets.
All right, and maybe farmers can, again, you put out a news release yesterday on the farmer's share of the food dollar on the Thanksgiving table, just under 12 cents of the U.S. dollar. For the producer of that food, a little, like you said, underwhelming.
Yeah, very much. Thanksgiving is always a time where we can reflect on that farmer's share. You know, we put it out monthly. But as folks are sitting around the table, I think it's important to kind of reflect. Consumers this year, with some of the challenges, have seen their food prices actually go up, and farmers' share has gone down. That money's not just disappearing, right? It's going in the middle, and that's a huge problem that we remain very focused on.
Okay, thank you for being the tip of the spear for farmers in the nation's capital. Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union. Thank you, and how was the? Tell us a little bit about your operation there in West Virginia.
Yeah, so the operation for many years was a dairy farm here. Has transitioned out of that. I am not actively farming. I am leasing it out to a young family here who is, I have to say, great to work with. We have a really good relationship. And I have to say, I'm just piddling around the edges right now as they actively farm it. But being based here at the farm, I have to say, is one of the silver linings of the pandemic right now.
Well, it's all good to have somebody in the nation's capital who not only is a farmer, but, hey, is on the farm. So thank you very much, Rob, for the visit. And again, thanks for the work you do.
Thank you, Mac.
You bet.